being from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord. Verse 11. Chabidatuli Shabbat Patisani Sani Ekatuli Kota Paraya Arasivite Ane Strong cotton pads called tulis are spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the deities. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Takshmurimulatam Yena Vismai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Manovishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Sarubhyasya Vipashimbhu Vaibhacha Patikanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Jivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Namo Hare Namo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. By the grace of Holiness Parthasarathi Das Goswami, I'm staying at his place. It's a beautiful, ideal place for practicing Krishna consciousness. This closed courtyard, these 14-foot walls of Rajasthani stone covered by bars on the top to keep out the monkeys, with lush garden of, I think yesterday for my deity, I had a beautiful champak flower. Like getting gold. It's not that they put just so many you can get. And nice association. Now situated. When I came, I did go to Vrindavan, which was also very nice. And really, I feel this way. I don't come to the Dham because I can realize how special it is. I come to the Dham because there are people here who realize how special it is. There are people here who can access the Dham, and therefore I come to get their association. It's humbling also. I spent a few days in Vrindavan by the mercy of Giridhar Swami. I have such a wonderful place to stay. And
you guys just have a good news.
Who's that? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello? Okay, thank you. So wonderful. And I met such nice devotees. I remember just one stretch I went to check to see if my the temple there sells my books. So one of the reasons I went was to check on my books and how many they need. And just from one little stretch, walking from there to the temple, met so many nice devotees. Of course, many of you know Dadu. I especially went to Vrindavan to check on Dadu, 87 years old. Very saintly gentleman, and really nice. I went to his room, and he was sitting there chanting in the morning, and a nice spiritual feeling of lamentation. It's a sense, and actually when you're advanced, you actually have a sense of emptiness. because your hunger for Krishna increases. So you're more aware of what you're missing. Hunger means lack. So when you get more Krishna consciousness, you're more hungry for Krishna consciousness. And you see a humility and a lack in a person who's advanced. And Dadu was telling me that, because he was on his deathbed just a few months ago, and he was telling me, he said, in a very humble way, he told me that Krishna saw I would not pass the exam. So he gave me more time to study. He said, but I cannot do bhajan, and I'm a very useless person, and you please pray for me. And you're so dedicated. And then I spent some time with other Srimati. You just go into her room. You see, a lot of times the external is a manifestation of the internal. Just like the room I'm in, small coupier, but the walls are just filled with such incredible, wonderful pictures of all spiritual inspiration from Parampara to the Jagannath Temple, Arupa and Raghunath, and so many pictures of Prabhupada and the sentiments of Prabhupada. Can't see. Otherwise, I would read you the statements of Prabhupada that are on the wall. So, very nice. Another Srimati, such an incredible. I remember going in her room in Vrindavan, where she had a full Govardhan Hill. It was an amazing thing with all the different places and water from different places, and very nice. And again, same mood. Sense of when you actually have some realization, peel away the late levels of the ahankara, that self-conceit actually is diminished. And she was saying, just realize, what am I doing here? How can you be proud? What are we doing here? If you understand Krishna conscious philosophy, the people here are in the minority. We are, in terms of jiva souls, we are low class. Most have chosen the spiritual realm. We have chosen here. So she had that realization, what am I doing here? So it was nice. And seeing people completely committed to the holy name, that Asodaivi Shakti, and she, you know, she showed me the new art book she's printed of beautiful paintings. There's one artist, he's actually one of the eyes of my deities, named Vrindavan Das. And it's incredible. I sometimes hand out some of his pictures. I have incredible artists. So of his artwork, illustrating a chapter in the Bhagavatam. So on one hand, you have the purports and commentaries of Prabhupada. On the other hand, you have this beautiful original artwork. But to see someone, my God, Daivi Shakti potency, divine potency, how many years? Almost 40 years serving Prabhupada and continuing to serve, not serving, she's chanting. And then to see her daughter here who's visiting and see that how she raised such a nice, fully Krishna-conscious child to Gaji Krishna. And nice. And then they came in the temple in the morning, and I just saw Ayendra. He was in one of his soft moods. But, chanting in the temple in the morning, when we take the deities on Parikram, there's about a half hour of Prabhupada's going on Parikram around the temple with all the devotees chanting. And then sitting in the temple, there's another 30, 40 devotees dedicated by Andrew's kirtan. Same ones, who've been there a few years. And I enter chanting before the deities with such nice devotion. And then I ran into Bhuvaneshwar, cooks for the deities, whatever he cooks, like nectar. And he always has an interesting statement. I liked whenever he sees my disciple, the Kinshara Krishna God, he looks at him and he says, "You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master," quoting from the Bhagavatam. What a personality. Anyway, and then spending some time today with Keshava Bharti, Maharaj, and Govardhan. And then it was so nice. And then there's this wonderful devotee named Sankirtan. Nice brahmachari, very dynamic, independent brahmachari, who preaches in China, speaks fluent Chinese. And I had a relationship with him way back. He used to attend my classes in the VIAG, and he called me up. And there's about five or six groups from people from China practice yoga, and to come here, they are, you know, the wealthy class of China. Very dynamic people, and somehow I tried to give them a class translated in Chinese. I spent several hours. On the last half hour, I was just sitting there, and I couldn't get out because they all wanted to take pictures. So one person after another. But so nice. Anyway, it's the association of very dedicated, deep people. And when you have a relationship with someone, there's a natural transference of their mood. That's the secret of spiritual life. I have a relationship with these people. And relationship means reciprocal. So what I get from them is their heart of devotion. And that's why I come to Vrindavan. I'm looking forward to more association. When I came in the temple, Dina Bandhu was giving class, or just beginning, kind of looked at me, offered respect, so I went over to him. All varieties, all sizes, all shapes, all genders. Commonality. That whatever they are, they've given it fully to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And it's edifying. And then today I came back here to Govardhan. And I'm going to read the CC. And generally, it's going to be the CC on Wednesday and my class on Bhagavatam, which is really nice, on Sunday. It's the Krishna entering Gorkha. And we'll see the Bhava, or the sentiments, the pure sentiments of the residents of Dwarka, specifically the queens, the ladies of Dwarka, as Krishna enters. And it's the same thing. If you have appreciation, if that's your aspiration, if your aspiration is pure love, and you're reading about pure love, again, there'll be some kind of conduit, some channel created between you and those persons. That's how you read the Bhagavatam. You read the Bhagavatam, you get the heart of Prabhupada, you get the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, you get the heart of Sita Goswami, you get the heart of any of the great personalities that they are discussing, including the residents of Vrindavan. And it's a fact, you know, I lose that perspective. I wondered, how will I enter Vrindavan? Such, you know, being in the West and obviously traveling and preaching is a little sacrifice on the bhajan side. How will I enter? But when you come here, undeniably, it's a fish in water. It's a spiritual atmosphere. It's nourishing, and the holy name comes alive. It's just your meditation. So I'm going to do CC again because I haven't even unpacked my Bhagavatam yet. I've just been trying to settle here. But we describe the ecstatic dancing of the Lord, and it's enchanting. And this is also the physical actions of a pure soul are inspiring because those actions are motivated by love. They have a certain charm to them. I mean, even if you watch the videos of Prabhupada, even without any sound, there's a certain charm to that. Because he's moving and motivated by pure love. And even, you know, Prabhupada holding a flower, or Prabhupada drinking his water, it's a very enchanting movement. What to speak of Prabhupada dancing ecstatically, on some of those pictures when they have the opening of the deities and Prabhupada becomes ecstatic and dances, or in one of the Ratriyatris. But it's going to be about the dancing of Lord Chaitanya. And that's the inspired by Mahabharata, the highest level of devotion. So we can imagine in our minds, we should, when we hear these pastimes, we should imagine the electricity is having a Mahabharata ecstatic thing here. It's blinking on and off, on and off. So there's only some obstacle here. That dancing of devotion. And this really is how Krishna consciousness spreads. People have to become deep. I was speaking to Mother Srimati about this. She's quite ill, I have to say. I mean, she had heart problems. When I saw her, when I was going from the book room, first I passed out of it, and she was in the post office, and then I was saying, made an appointment at her room. Anyway, I forgot what point I was going to make there, but the attractiveness of the very, even their physical, it's very, very enchanting. Moving by praying, moving by devotion. And when you have a sense of that, you'll see the devotion. The face is the index of the mind. The mind is devotion. A smile is devotion. Something about a devotee who's fully absorbed in devotional service, that it almost seems that the whole body is smiling in ecstasy. There's a certain glow of that devotee. And so, in this Rakti, we're going to hear about this dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we hear now that King Kakaparudra, I think it's going to be described, you know, he's the king and he does the menial service. That is the ultimate upadhi. Upadhi means designation. It also means you get a degree called the upadhi. Designation and who you are. But really, all designations for a devotee are external. His real designation is that he's a servant of Krishna. He can be the servant sweeper, he can be the servant king. But whatever he does, it's done as service. And therefore, it's described that one who attains a level in society as a master or guru of others, in his own consciousness, he's not looking at himself as a master of others. He's looking at himself as a servant of his spiritual master. And as a service, he is teaching others. So the real upadhi or designation of a devotee in all circumstances is servant. And if he takes some position, and it's invoking any other consciousness, he has to take serious precautions to readjust his thinking so he doesn't identify with any position that makes him think he's the master. Or he has to seriously consider readjusting his service. Prabhupada said I was there. I remember I used to go to the temple on Henry Street, one of the most dynamic Krishna conscious centers. I used to go in 1970, 71, and it was spiritual, all stars, so many great souls. Even everyone sat down next to me at one time at the Sunday feast. I somehow or other was so successful, they didn't know I was coming for 2 years. You name a devotee, they sat down next to me. I remember Gopi Pranabhana sat down next to me in one Sunday feast. And I started talking to him. I was amazed. He was had a degree in linguistics from Columbia University. And now he's here in Govardhan, translating the Goswami literature. But there's not, somehow, I guess, traveling today, I'm losing my train of thought here, but let me see if I can get it back. So I was sitting one day for making lunch. And one devotee used to serve with a little red toy rabbit. And he used to put the prasadam was so tasty. And I remember I sat down next to a person called Garudana. I remember they had these strong, heavy brahmacharis. They were all brahmacharis, practically, at least in the section where I took. And they were all thin and mean. No, I remember it was Gopi Genovallabha, Jayadvaita Swami. There's one brahmacharya. So I sat down. I'm just, guy coming in for lunch. And I started talking. And, almost like it was choreographed, they all just slowly turned their heads and looked my way, almost like to burn me with their look. I realized I shouldn't have been talking. It took in silence. Really, it's a meditation. And the case was Prabhupada, someone was relating a lecture that Prabhupada gave. It was a lecture by someone else, but he was explaining what Prabhupada said. The Prabhupada said we can take over the world in 18 days if we all became Krishna conscious. That's the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Take over means make the whole world spiritual. And I thought 18 days, that was the length of the battle of Kurukshetra. Now, it hasn't happened. What I understand is because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, a spiritual movement becomes successful when people imbibe genuine humility. Because then they can have power in a mood of service without being corrupted. Can't become successful spiritually unless you become humble. Because then there's a limit to how much Krishna can give you without corrupting you. And then sometimes he does give it to you and you do become corrupted. That's the way that Krishna teaches you a lesson. But it doesn't facilitate the enhancement of spirituality and the influence of spirituality. Here's King Prataparudra. He's going to come up, and as a king, in those days, a monk would not associate with a king, and the king was called Vishayi. What does Vishayi mean? A sense gratifier. And it wasn't even, he could be a pure devotee, but he was still Vishayi. Why? Because the king had to rule the people. And this Varnashram system, it understood psychology in rulership. And what's the psychology in rulership? You can just beat people down. That's not successful. There'll be revolt. But, it makes it more difficult. Sure, the king had power. But it better if the king inspired people. So he'd inspire people in different ways. One is by his sense control and character. If one is sense controlled, Anaj, Swami, if one is sense controlled, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, then automatically one's family, one's minister, the kingdom, everything comes under control. If you become focused and sense controlled, people will have Shakti and power, and people will be submissive to you. Because that's the greatest power, is renunciation. Renunciation is ultimately the most attractive opulence, legitimately. But another thing is there, is that mass of people actually want to surrender to greatness. It's what happens now. You can see so many independent people, if there's a sexy rock singer, they surrender. They become disciples. With a powerful sports star, they become disciples. You ever see those old films when the Beatles came to America? the bobs of the young ladies in the audience, the ecstasy, it's just a natural phenomenon. So people surrender to opulence, to power. It's just natural. And therefore, the king would have to, even if he was saintly, he would have to take the accoutrements of power, because it would facilitate the submissiveness and cooperativeness of the subjects. And that's why the king has, the crown jewels. It still works to a certain extent. Queen of England, they take out their jewels. It still works to some extent. And that's why even, in spiritual circles, sometimes there's seat of honor. It facilitates healing. It's not the only factor, but it's one of the factors. And therefore, because the king would demonstrate to the subjects that he was enjoying more, he had many wives, he had jewels, he had opulence, and break out into that famous song written by Hamsaduta. Remember that song? It was Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja after Prabhupada left. And Hamsaduta was a little bit on the outside, and he was a little bit different. And he came and he started to sing a song glorifying all the gurus. But he came with his guitar, and we were all sitting there, He started humming a folk song. Rubies, diamonds, rings and pearls, just to attract fools to the spiritual world. Dancing, dashing, handsome, and carefree. Havananda Goswami. It was wild, let me tell you. And someone said, what did someone say about the early days of Krishna consciousness? Fired up. Yeah, anyway, let's get on to the philosophy more. But so this king, King Kataparuja, who what you kind of wouldn't see on that Varnashram principle that the saintly people wouldn't associate with the king. Most of his accoutrements of power. Even when I took sannyas from Saksarup Maharaj, he told me at that lecture the main instruction that Prabhupada gave him as a sannyasi. When you go and you visit a rich man's home, that will happen, especially in India. You'll visit the wealthiest people in the world. If you're a monk in India that's teaching God consciousness, I remember 2 years ago, I went to one program of Raghunath Swami in Bombay, and just for sitting there, the host, who actually heard my lecture in the temple, and I saw him sitting across from me, taking prasadam, came in and sat with the devotees. Just for coming to the program, the man handed me an envelope and I opened it up. It was 13,000 rupees. It was like $300 just for sitting there. I asked Ramnath Swami, who's this? He said, well, it's, and he gave the name of the person. He had a spiritual name. And then he gave his material name. And I looked it up on the Forbes, you know, richest people. He was the 130th richest man in the world. I did a calculation at 5% a year on his fortune. Probably made about $150,000. So, Prabhupada's instruction to Satsrupa's, if you visit, you know, people, you know, and they see their families, never think that, oh, I could have had this. So even a modern thing, it's some psychology that Prabhupada also said, no, that's the main thing. So King Paksapuja didn't associate with Lokitanya didn't associate with this king. But we'll see, this king will come and sweep the road. Because he's a king as a servant of Lord Jagannath. And if you want to attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that king has to show that my realization is that, no, I may have accoutrements of power, but not to be the enjoyer. I'm accepting these accoutrements of power to be the servant of Lord Jagannath and to be his representative as the king of the citizen. Anyway, we're come to the strong, puffed up cotton pads called tulis. We're spread out from the throne to the car. And the heavy deed of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the deity. You have King Satyaparudra, very wealthy person. He can't, very hard for him to come close. But these poor people, they're from the class of pig sellers, the sabaris. They are the servants of Jagannath to watch him when he is in that lila or pastime of being sick. And then they're taking him to the altar. And this is actually, it's that I remember that verse by Prahlad Maharaj, so important. He said, even if one has all 12 dominical qualities, if he's not a devotee, which means a humble person, that person cannot even deliver himself. And it means he has all good qualities. Shanoda Mustapo Chaucham, tolerance, peacefulness, austerity, cleanliness, knowledge, renunciation, religiosity. He has everything. But why can he not deliver himself? Because if one is not surrendered to Guru and Krishna, and you keep that independent consciousness of false ego, then whatever good qualities you have, you appropriate for your false ego. And even your good qualities make you more proud and separate you more from God and entangle you more in the world. He said, but if one is legitimately a humble devotee of the Lord, even if he's born in the family of dog eaters, he can deliver the whole world. Why? Because if he's a devotee, he's humble. And even we see the case of Narada Muni, one of the great acharyas in our lives. He was so forlorn that he didn't even know who his father was, which even us sinful people on this phone right now, we at least know who our father was, whether we like him or not. I didn't even know who his father was. But he got the mercy of the Bhakti Vedanti. Because that external situation made him humble. So what is good and what is bad, ultimately? What is good and bad is what brings you closer to God. What's good is getting you closer to God. What's bad is what brings you away from God. There's not an absolute correlation. Wealth can bring you closer to God also. Because sometimes God will give you wealth because you're a generous person and will use it for his service. of these deities. They're holding the feet of Jagannath. What ecstasy! And this commemorates what I explained before. What are the Jagannath deities? The Jagannath deities are the deities of Krishna in the highest ecstasy, finally meeting Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan after so many years, and seeing Krishna, seeing Radharani in separation, and going into this ecstatic form. That's Jagannath. And when Jagannath is prepared to come from, and Krishna is prepared to come from Dwarka to Vrindavan, he's in an intoxicated state. So this big Jagannath deity is in an intoxicated state. He's going from these one pillar. How do I pronounce those things? What I do with this English language? Pillar. Pillow. From one pillow to the next pillow. Boom, crash, and he's carried by these deities. What wonderful. While the deities carry the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke, and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Bam. And just, you know, because it's India, and if I get disconnected, Lucky can't call me. I just want to make sure that you're all still on board. Did someone say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, New York.
Yeah, we're here.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Great. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Very good. Okay, now everybody mute yourself. I know that I've heard you. So, Prabhu Adhagate Tule Hoya Kanda Kanda Ula Shabde Ube Yaya Shabda Hoya Kuchanda. Krishna, that's Kaviraj. Prabhu Pada Aghate, by the kicking of Lord Jagannath, truly the pads have become kanda kanda, broken into pieces. Truly, the cotton inside, Shabda Ubihai rises, and Shabda, Hoya, there's a sound, Prachanda, very big sound when this happens. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? The Lord moves by his personal will just to perform pastimes. But you see what happens is the Lila Shakti becomes supreme. The pastime potency becomes supreme. Because God, to enjoy his ecstasy, needs to be surprised. So his own potencies become supreme. And God forgets his divinity. That enables him to exchange infinite love. How wonderful. Lila Shakti. It's moving in that way. And therefore, Supreme Lord, this is such a wonderful part. In love and for Leela and for pleasure, he will respond to our desire to serve him. If we want to feed God, God will become hungry and starve if we forget an offering. This is the nature. Very wonderful. Who is Jagannath? Vishvambara Jagannathe. He is the maintainer. Ke Chalite Pare. But he is carried from one place to another. Why? Apana Ichaya. By his personal will, Chale, he moves. Parite Vihare, and acts in these pastimes. And they're Leela. And what is Leela? It's play. It's play out of love, to exchange love. And that's the spirit. That's the spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is the Leela, exchange of love. And therefore, our aspirations is to participate in that type of realm. We also move in that spirit of Leela or love. And here we see that we are hankering for love, we are missing love, we are wanting love. And because we are lacking in that spirit of heart, and not knowing that that is actually what we're lacking, we are forced to try to become fulfilled by bringing so many things external to us into our world, thinking that a new object or a higher position or a better mate or more money is actually fulfilling the hole in our heart. And it doesn't. While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. So people are just blowing horns and playing incredible drums, singing, and this kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, "Mani Ma, Mani Na, Mani Ma," but he could not be heard. It means a respectable person is honorific term. In ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya is glorified, praised. Spiritual world is praised. Kirtan is the main activity of the spiritual world. Because kirtan, or speaking, is the main expression of love. Beautiful songs of love, poetry of love. If there's any expression of love, think of the relationships you have with others. If there's any loving dealings, the main expression of that love and the main feeling of that love is when you express it in words or song or poetry. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, trying to experience the highest sentiments of love of his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. He's not surprising that he's doing kirtan. What happens in Mangal Arti in the spiritual world? We do Mangal Arti as Radhanuga Bhaktis, as devotees who are following the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan. But Radhanuga Bhakti means that your activities are done because you're following those who have the pure love that you're aspiring for. You do what they do. That's what rules your life. Why do we do Mangalarti? Because we want to be followers of Lalita. And what do they do? In the morning, it's kirtan. When Radha and Krishna wake up, there is kirtan. At Mangalarti, there is arti. They take out lamps, they take out incense, and there's kirtan. And therefore we do kirtan. Because we want to follow them. And isn't it surprising that Lord Chaitanya, as the Jagannath, is being carried by these heavy, you can imagine what their bodies are like in that type of cast. They got the silk ropes around the waist of Jagannath, and Jagannath bounces from one pillar to another, and it smashes, and he comes out. You know, the pillow, the feathers come out of the pillow, and then there's all these sounds, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is watching this in ecstasy. And he's glorifying Jagannath. How nice that in our lives, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharya, he is Jagannath. This Radharani is a Krishna wants to experience the highest love. And what's Radharani's highest love? Highest love is taking Krishna to Vrindavan, or seeing Krishna in Vrindavan. It's so nice. Word Mani Ma is used to address the respectable person in Orissa. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya in this way. While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Pataparudra personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. So nice, huh? Sweeping. If you ever go to Vamsivat, where Krishna blew the flute to attract the unmarried gopis, it's very nice to bring a broom. And sweep. It's what they do in Vrindavan. They keep it very clean. So they're sweeping. Always keeping the ground nice and even. They're sweeping. And when you sweep in that mood, it's ecstasy. This is not work. It's love. The activity is not what's important. It's the consciousness behind the activity. And if you do something with love, it becomes so pleasurable. You actually love someone and do something, and cooking is not a chore, cooking is love. It's love. King Pataparudra, out of love and ecstasy, and he's happy, he wants that position. He's not wanting to gain position of the king. He's keeping him separate from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants access. And access is by consciousness, the mood of service. Very happy. Sometimes very wealthy people, they like to do very humble things because they have more access to love. King, people give him presentations and glorify him, but in his mind, he's thinking, they're doing this out of duty, or they're doing this out of motive. He doesn't experience love. Sometimes the king, a lot of movie stars and things, they just, they, after a while, they want to be just ordinary people. They feel they can more easily access love. When they're so famous and rich and powerful, people approach them with motive. Or with distant love, with awe and reverence and respect and keep them high, when love is not so forceful. King Pataparudra now, he couldn't see Lord Chaitanya, now he's going to attract him. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood scented water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. And the Bengali, which I can't pronounce so properly, but even you can see the words are so sweet. Chandana Jalete Kore. He does with Chandana Jalete. Chandan Jalete, the sandalwood water. Pata Shaitane, he's sprinkling. And Kucha. Kucha means the smallest. Tapha Purnamase Shamandala Pati Training Sadhatu Chava. They kicked off all aristocracy as Tucha, insignificant. So here's the king sprinkling the road with sandalwood water, although he was the owner of the royal throne, in Kare Vase Raja Singhasane. He was the possessor of the Raja Singhasana, of the king's throne. But Kucha Seva Kari, he does the most insignificant service, which demonstrates his love. Uttama Hoya Raja Kari Kucha Sevana, Atya Eva Jagannathera Pripara Vajana. Although the king was the most exalted, respectable person, Still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Mercy requires need. If you don't have need, you can't get mercy. Can Bill Gates get my mercy by giving him $100? He doesn't have need. So mercy requires need. He wanted to take on his mercy. So now he took the position of need and became a suitable candidate. And it's not just the position, it's the mood or attitude. You develop the consciousness, not just of the sweeper, but of someone who has legitimate need for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Now, I'm going to end the class today with Srila Prabhupada's purport. And we listen very, very carefully to his divine instruction. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in his devotional service. And there's a quote from Lord Brahma's prayers, who was the creator engineer of the universe and thought that he could bewilder Krishna by stealing the cows, calves. The calves and the cowherds. But when he realized Krishna's supreme mystic power, it was after he took the calves and the cowherd boys and he came back, he saw that all the calves and cowherd boys were there. Krishna expanded into them perfectly. And that's mystic power. Just think of your partner or your best friend or something. Or just think of one of your friends. And think what a mystic power would be if someone had to duplicate him exactly. With all the forms the person has, his habits, his tastes, hang-ups, and the unique mental imprints that we all have. And when I studied this yoga psychology, each person is such an individual, because he stamped his consciousness since time immemorial with so many different experiences that give him a unique set of perceptions and proclivities. Therefore, look at everyone, we think everyone's crazy. Not knowing how we are so stamped over time immemorial with all these impressions to give us our proclivities and idiosyncrasies. And I need someone to duplicate my language. You have to know how to pronounce pillow rather than pillow. Not than a pillow. As Jayashi Bhagya says, he secret to speaking language of South Brooklyn and North Staten Island, you have to know when to drop the R's and add the R's. For example, when you pronounce J-A-P-A, you have to add the R. You have to say Japa. And when you pronounce E-E-T-T-E-R, you have to drop the R. Better. Someone has to duplicate that. So, and he had to duplicate, and he saw Krishna duplicated all his eccentric friends and all their proclivities and all their habits. He became so overwhelmed that he gave these prayers. Apapite deva patambhujadvaya. A devotee who's received even a fraction of the mercy of the Lord cannot understand him. Others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord and cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Prataparudra was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in menial service of Lord Jagannath, he became very happy. Thus the king became eligible to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru, and Lord Jagannath as the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, he is benefited by a Punya Bhagavan Jeevi Guru Krishna Pajari Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes a transcendental creeper. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual sky. A seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide Guru. By the mercy of Guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of bhakti yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world. Bhakti means mercy. But we are devotees. There's no other explanation but mercy. That's how we came to this conclusion. It was some creeper by some Vaishnava. There's no other explanation how we've come to this view and to this understanding. And it's not sentimental. Although the view and the idea comes by mercy, it's confirmed by practical experience and application and realization. And it's not just a sentiment. It's also confirmed by Shastra. But to be steered in that direction is mercy. And somehow, you can attract mercy, or you can become qualified for mercy. Just like when it rains everywhere, but certain places become wet because they're more receptive to the water. They're better receptive to the water. So mercy is there; you just have to qualify. And our practice of Krishna consciousness is basically purifying our heart and making ourselves humble, so that we can access mercy, so that we can actually come to the point of legitimately realizing our need for Krishna. The hunkara, the self-conceit, the self-identity, gives us a false conception of the self. I felt that when I was talking with Mother Srimati and she was explaining her realization. You can see it has to come to that point. By your practice, by your bhajan, you come to the point of realizing I actually am in need of the mercy of God. I got a note from Rucky. I just want to see if it's... it's coming to that point, actually. It's peeling away the layers of false conception, coming to the point of dependence. And as you advance, you become more and more dependent. And therefore, your expression of need becomes more sincere. The experience of mercy becomes more intense. That's our bhajan, that's our practice. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya especially told us to wear around our necks the verse, Trinada pi sunichena torora pi sunishna amanina madhurena. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, making oneself lower than the store in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant constantly, ready to offer all respects to others. Bhakti is coming to a real platform of the heart. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is
Pandit Gula.
Oh.
Okay, okay. Mataji, please go ahead.
No, you go first.
Okay. My question is, Maharaj, and I liked the last portion of your lecture very, very much. That, you know, it rains everywhere, but only the dry place, you know, get wet. And the person, you know, who will have to be, you know, dry, only they get the mercy. But to get the dry, you know, how far, you know, you have to go down?
Okay, thank you. Is your question?
My question is that, you know, how to become, you know, that dry that, you know, we can get the mercy.
That's called sadhana, where you practice calling to God, and then you realize your own need. It's not a question. Everything in the world brings us to the point of humility. Because we're not the controller. That's not our constitutional position. So when we have separate agenda or plan from God's plan, we surely become frustrated. It's got to bring us to that point. So the world works that way. Hearing the Shastra works that way. Associating with the devotees works that way. Practicing Krishna consciousness works that way. Everything helps us because that's our real position. We are not separate and independent gods. So we are dependent. And therefore, knowledge brings us to dependence, experience brings us to dependence, association brings us to dependence. And obviously we're frustrated because this samskara, this impression in the consciousness of controller and enjoyer, is so embedded and imprinted in us. And based on that samskara, we get a particular conception and body in this particular life to act independent and separate from God. So we are so indebted, we are so entangled. But bhakti is such a powerful process. And bhakti means the transference of devotion in our heart, that seed of devotion in our heart that creates such a powerful impression that our desire becomes to serve rather than control. And then we have the practices that increase that conception. And it brings us to our true position. Okay. Thank you, Nanda Dilo. Any other questions?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Who's that?
This is Gail.
Gail, okay. What's your question?
I don't know if I have time for two, but one question is... Would you say that the solution for filling the hole in the heart is to simply
solution absorb, filling the hole in our heart is
to simply absorb our attention in Krishna's name?
Is to what? Absorb our attention in what?
Krishna's name. Krishna. The sound of Krishna's name.
That's the main way. That is the main way. Mm-hmm. Because that's our process of bhakti. Our process of bhakti is to absorb ourselves in God. And by absorbing ourselves in God, the natural attraction for God will come from our heart. And that's what we are lacking, that love and devotion. Yes, that's the process. Second question.
Is could you please elaborate a bit on the fact that renunciation is the greatest opulence.
Renunciation is the greatest opulence?
Yeah.
Probably that renunciation is the greatest opulence. Attachment. Very, very attractive. Therefore, in a society, the people who are respected the most are generally not the people who are just the most wealthy, but the people who have the greatest control. Why attachment is the greatest? Well, it's the greatest power. But if attachment has to be out of devotion or bhakti. I need to really find a reference for this. I believe I remember. The reason I repeated it is I believe I read it someplace that detachment is the most attractive opulence. And I was saying on the basis of that authority, but I don't really remember where I read it. And so that was, you know, in terms of a pramana, an evidence for my statement. I remembered reading it someplace, but I'd have to look it up. In terms of our practical experience in the world, it seems to be that way in a proper culture, that someone who's legitimately as passionate is the most attractive. At least in an Indian culture, the top of the social order was not the kings. Top of the social order was the Brahmins, and one of the qualities of the Brahmins is that they were simple and detached. And in terms of the ashrams, top were not the grihasthas and the people who had the money and the opulence, but it was supposed to be the sannyasis of days of yore. Who were the attached people. Well, let's put it this way. Whether it's the greatest one or not, definitely see that it's a very powerful opulence to actually be dispassionate and detached. Thank you, Gail.
Yeah.
Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Yeah, Moni?
Yes, can you hear me okay, Mark?
Yeah.
Comfortable? Okay. Something you said reminded me of something that His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami said, and I thought it was relevant.
Okay.
He said that there was a time in his life when he was cultivating a relationship with Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali somehow trusted him because he was a monk, and he would open up to him sometimes. And Muhammad Ali once said to him in the midst of his mansion, he said, you know, I have so many people that surround me and so many people that come to me and they worship me. He says, but I don't think I have one friend because they all come to me with a motive. And it just reminded me of the point you were saying. It reminded me of the point you were saying earlier that it's very hard for someone in a position of great power sometimes to really feel genuine love because people approach sometimes with you know, improper motives.
Yeah.
I remember that same exact thing from Bhaktivedanta Swami also.
We were probably in the same class at Tuwaka.
Yeah, we were probably, yeah. And every time that issue comes up, I think of that thing that Bhaktivedanta Swami said.
Huh. I'll probably call you if you're... I'll probably call you because you had that question. You sent me an email.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
that's wonderful. And Mark, may I just say one other thing really quick? Is it okay? Gail's question about renunciation being the most attractive opulence. Sometimes, I don't know if this example is too much like high school or something, but it seems to me that when there's people who aren't interested in what you're interested in, and they genuinely don't care, sometimes it indicates to us that they're grounded in a way, or they're satisfied in a way that we don't have yet. We don't have that kind of satisfaction, and therefore, kind of, I think it is very attractive. And sometimes people who aren't...
It means there's an inner opulence of satisfaction when someone is renounced or detached.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, even though there's wealth around and so many things, if a person's detached, it kind of indicates that he has something even better inside.
Exactly.
And it's kind of an opulence. Yeah.
And
you know, even in the world, right, they say the guy's cool. What does that mean, generally? I mean, what it should mean is something is like, you know, he's just passionate, you know, and in a kind of a weird way, you know?
But absolutely.
And he's not moved by everything outside, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's interesting. Hey, thank you, boys.
Horrible, Rush.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hi, Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Mala. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Thank you for being great.
I love the,
thank you.
I love the idea of the Jagannath kicking up his feet as he's being carried out of the temple.
Oh, you like that? Well, you'll have to come to Puri upon retirement, Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry?
After your retirement, you'll have to come to Puri.
Oh, definitely.
Jagannath Puri.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And I think it would be really nice for you to meet me. If you came to Vrindavan, you can spend some time with this mother, Srimati.
I would love to.
I think you'd be really inspired. Yeah.
Love to.
I'm very close to her. We have a nice friendship. Okay.
Oh,
anybody
yes.
else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, well, who is this?
Hare Krishna Savitri. Savitri speaking.
Savitri, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Nice description, Maharaj. Beautiful. Jagannath's description.
Well,
it's
so wonderful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That means a lot coming from you because I know you're really a relisher.
Yes.
Chaitanya Charitamrita. And very great to Maharaj and myself. We'll come to your house again together and we'll sit as you read in the original Bengali.
Yes, Maharaj. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Maharaj. You are so kind to us.
Thanks many to people here.
You are very kind to us. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Home, Bengali family. A lady speaks in high-class Bengali. We sit there and listen. Follow the Prabhupada's book. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan, Hare Krishna. Great, so nice. Thank you so much for coming on. Great.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Nitya Seva.
Oh, Nitya Seva, thank you. Great. Now I am in Vrindavan. And just a couple of months, the position was reversed. We were in Dolly.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Great. Nice to hear from you. Thank you. Nice to hear the variety of people on the class. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna? Who's that? Can't hear you. Who is it? Anybody else say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Accept our humble obeisances.
Hey, Carl and Stella, so nice to hear from both of you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I love those pictures. I love those pictures that you posted on Sambandha.
I'm glad.
I
have some others. I finally figured out how to do it. So, yeah, those are beautiful memories for us.
I do, especially in that winter day when myself and Srila Gurudev were walking down the Govardhan Prikram path.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
filled up. And there's other pictures too with the overground Basis of Govindakund. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Coming on.
Hi, Bo.
No. Hey. Hey. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end for today. Pancha Kalka Purubya Shakapasandu Bhai Vichapati Param Pavani.